Hello?
Hey, Cam, it's Jeff.
Hey, sorry about that. I gave you my home number, not my gym number.
No worries at all. No worries. You know, it's funny. When I was thinking about not doing this podcast this week, I sat down this morning and I said, I got 20 minutes here. Let me write about the safeties. And then I thought to myself, well, that would be a pointless endeavor. Let me get a safety on the phone and just find out. Because, you know, I watched that Lions-Eagles game on Sunday. I watched every snap of that game. And what amazes me about the Lions passing game primarily is this, with Calvin Johnson. If you stay on him as a corner, meaning if you lock into him and hit him at the line of scrimmage and stay on him, he's still going to get his catches. Because Stafford has so much faith in him. He's going to throw the ball up, and he's going to get his catches. But you can minimize the sort of overall damage, I think, by playing that way, as opposed to sitting off of him, giving him space off the line, because that seems to be where he's able to get ahead of steam and tear through your secondary. Am I wrong about that? Because that seems to be what the Eagles did wrong in the fourth quarter. They sat off him, and then he went and he tore through them.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and I didn't watch all the snaps of that game. I watched most of them. That's exactly what happened. When they were physical with him, they did limit him. And then I went back and watched the Bears and Lions last year, and when he hurt the Bears was when he cut his foot down a little bit, so he knew if they're in cover two, cornerback's going to bang me off the line of scrimmage, but if I cut my split down a little bit, okay, that corner's not going to bang me. He's just going to sink off, and I'm going to get a free release off the ball. And that long touchdown he had last year on the corner post route, we call it the Seahorn route, that Chris Harris opened his hips to cover the corner. He cut right back in, ran the post, and, you know, the rest is history. I know everybody remembers that play, but that's kind of why they put him in that formation. We can expect a lot more of that, I think, Monday night, them trying to put him in a position where he can get a free release off the ball, because he's so big and physical. Like you said, if you throw the ball up, 9 times out of 10, he's going to come down with it, and the other one, it's probably going to be incomplete. That's the advantage of having a guy like that. What's good with Chicago's secondary is, you know, you have Peanut Tillman, who doesn't get the credit, but is one of the more physical corners, you know, in the last 10 years in the NFL. He can get at the line of scrimmage. He can play big receivers down the field. You know, when I was in Chicago and Randy Moss was still in Minnesota, you know, Peanut was a guy to cover him most of the time. And, you know, we ran some special coverages. We would roll Peanut up and bring a safety over the top of him in a deep thirds look, and then have the other safety in the middle third in the opposite corner play another deep third. So we rolled our coverage to him, which it wouldn't surprise me if Chicago did something like that Monday night with Calvin Johnson.
Well, it's funny because my next note actually was Randy Moss, and I kept thinking about one of my favorite plays I've ever seen a Bear corner make was the play at the end of the Vikings game. I don't know what year, but it probably was like 2003 or
2003. 2003.
Where he basically took the ball out of Randy Moss's hand.
Yeah.
In the end zone. And it was one of those great plays. I think it's the definitive play of Tillman's career. And I wonder about it, because I think what I've seen so far from the Bears and from Lovey and from Rod is that they're willing to let their corners play corner a little bit more this year than I've seen them in the past. They're not sitting off the ball every down. They're not playing strictly scheme corner. He's letting Jennings, he's letting Tillman play a little bit of physical corner. And I think they're both flourishing right now. I hope, and I've seen from what you're saying, from what I've seen, this is the night where they have to do it. Because when you have a player like Johnson, he can just wreck a game. He can wreck a game so quickly, and they've got to be able to feel confident with Tillman up on him at the line of scrimmage and just muscle him. But what I would also say to that is, and Burleson's not a great receiver, but I think whoever lines up opposite Johnson is going to have a productive season. Does Burleson, do the Bears risk overcompensating for Johnson? Do you then risk allowing Burleson to beat a corner one-on-one down the sideline for a big play?
Well, I think that's, you know, going into a game against the Detroit Lions, I think first and foremost what you have to say is, okay, we can't let Calvin Johnson beat us because he can beat us. And you know Calvin Johnson can beat you if you allow him to do that. So then you – it forces you really to win the matchup versus Nate Burleson, win the matchup versus Titus Young, and win the matchup versus Brandon Pettigrew, their tight end. But I think the way the Bears corners are playing this year, I think that's a matchup the Bears can win. We made the mistake one year early in Nate Burleson's career when he was also with Minnesota of kind of underestimating what he can do. And he kind of lit us up that day because, you know, we were going
well. Over
some, to Randy Moss basically every down. He's not the same guy. And the way these Bears corners are playing this year, playing at a much higher level than that season, we were banged up a little bit. So I think the Bears have played a lot more man coverage this year than in the past under Lovie Smith. So I think they're going to say, hey, free safety, you know, Chris Conte in the middle of the field, you have to play on the hash towards Calvin Johnson and you other corners and DJ Moore in the slot and Major Wright, you guys are basically going to be matched up one-on-one. The advantage to that is you bang Calvin Johnson at the line, Charles Tillman runs with him, you have Chris Conte leaning over there over the top if they want to go down the field. And the way the Bears are pressuring the quarterback with their front four, you know, you expect Matt Stafford to have to get the ball out on time or quicker, you know, quicker than he's ready to. If they do play this kind of aggressive over-the-top defense on Calvin Johnson and have these one-on-one matchups across the field, they have to get a little bit of pressure on Matt Stafford because he's good enough. Nate Burleson and Titus Young, Brandon Pettigrew are good enough that if you allow Matt Stafford to sit back in the pocket, okay, he'll find an open guy sooner or later. So, you know, just as the Bears have done pretty much every game other than the Packers game this year, that front four gets pressure, then you're going to see good things happening in the secondary.
Is Lovie, is that what you sort of said about Chris Conte there? Is that something Lovie's going to do? Is he going to go to Chris Conte during this week and say, hey, this guy, Johnson, he doesn't get behind you? Like, is that a conversation that actually – I always imagine that it happens. I imagine that if I'm coaching this defense, I say, Chris Conte, no matter what, 81 does not get behind you in this game. Is that a conversation that will actually take place, or is it far more nuanced?
No, it's definitely – the overlying message to both of those safeties, really, like Calvin Johnson does not get over the top. Okay, if they move the ball 8, 12, 15, you know, 6-yard chunks down the field and score a touchdown, we can live with that. What we can't live with is Calvin Johnson or Nate Burleson or Titus Young getting over the top and you know, coming up with a 60 or 70-yard touchdown. This defense is built on not giving up the big play, and that's definitely the message. It's the message every week, but especially when you have a threat as big as Calvin Johnson. And Chris Conte, you know, he's the guy usually in their three deep or their man-free stuff that is in the middle of the field, and, you know, it's especially important for him this week to, hey, if Charles Tillman needs help on a deep ball, you have to be there. Your footwork has to be there. Your reads on Matt Stafford have to be there. Okay, you have to stay square and make a good break out of the middle of the field. Otherwise, you know, Calvin Johnson can really hurt us. And I think, you know, it's a big test for Chris Conte in that regard because, like we spoke about a couple times earlier this season, his footwork is not always how it should be. His technique, you know, he gets in trouble a little bit sometimes with his technique. He opens his hips when he shouldn't. He should stay square and make a break after the ball is thrown or when the hand comes off the ball. If he doesn't do that this week, if he comes out of his back pedal, if he opens his hips the wrong way, Calvin Johnson can really hurt him. Even Nate Burleson can hurt him. So it's a big test for him. And, you know, I've liked his progress, you know, up to this point in the season, looking back game one to now. I think he's progressing, and I think he's playing more disciplined football. And, you know, I think it'll be a big test for him. I'm excited to see he and Major Wright both, along with Tim Jennings and Charles Tillman, play against a pretty big test this week. We spoke about the test that the Cowboys, you know, presented to the Bears a couple of weeks ago, and they passed that with flying colors, and I'm excited to see them do the same thing.
Well, the one thing about the Cowboy test that I think is that it was more difficult than this test is the Cowboys had DeMarco Murray, and I thought they would be able to muster up a running game. They really didn't. And I'll say this about Conte, and I feel like we should just call these the Chris Conte shows because we end up devoting half our show to him every week. But no, the truth of the matter is, if you were to ask me, where do I think the Bears are susceptible right now on defense? Where have they shown the weakness? It is in that space, and I don't know what it would be referred to as, But it used to always be behind Urlacher and in front of the safety where the tight end would kill him. That hasn't happened this year. It has been behind the corner on the sideline on sort of the deep go route where Conte is late getting over. Now, they haven't been punished with it yet. But what I've said for 4 weeks is this is the week to get punished for it because this is the guy who thrives on that route. And if he gets out there and he gets behind the corner and Chris Conte is a second late, you're talking about 60 and 70-yard touchdowns now, not 15 and 16-yard gains, because he's going to take the ball to the house. So I next week's show is going to be very interesting because we're either going to be on here saying that Chris Conte is the second coming of John Lynch or wondering if they're going to bring Al Afalava back.
Yeah. and going back and watching that game from last year, you know, you're exactly right where they were hurt over the top, but they were also hurt right in the seam, you know, right behind the linebackers, right in front of the safety, and Pettigrew caught about a 19-yard touchdown right in front of Chris Harrison, right behind Brian Urlacher. You know, with DJ Moore playing a lot of three-receiver sets, we haven't seen that a lot this year, even with, you know, Brian Urlacher being a little bit limited physically, getting in that, you know, Tampa 2 middle linebacker drop. Go ahead.
I'll say this. I think the reason we haven't seen it as much is because of the pressure from the interior of the defensive line. Because we've yet to see a quarterback be able to just simply step up and deliver the ball over the middle because Melton and Toena and Paya have played so well. You know, in the past, it's been a couple of guys off the edge come up, quarterback steps up, and there's Jeff King running a – I don't know why I still hark on that damn Jake Delhomme to Jeff King play from 5 years ago. But that's what it was. That's what I think about. There's that tight end just running the seam route. But I think DJ Moore deserves a lot of credit. I think he might be the most underrated guy in the whole defense. But
I think you're exactly right. And I hadn't really thought about it in those terms that they're getting pressure with the front four, but the inside guys are playing at such a high level that there's not a clean pocket really for anybody to throw. And if you want to make that throw down the seam, you have to be able to step up in the pocket and make that throw. You can make a throw, you know, down the sideline if you get outside the pocket just a little bit, then that becomes a little bit of an easier throw. But I think you're dead on in the fact that one of the reasons we haven't seen those, you know, even with the middle linebacker that's a little bit limited, is because of the pressure. And that plays a big part in the success of this defense so far.
Here's my question for you, because I like asking you these questions because you've been in the rooms. And here's what terrifies me about the Detroit Lions. And again, I think the Bears are going to win this game. I think that the Lions will have some success on offense, but I think the Bears will win this game. What the Lions tend to do, and they've done this now for 2 years, and it's almost implausible. They're down two touchdowns late in games. Defenses back off them, and then they shred them. And it's they get themselves back into games. And I think Lovie has had the problem during his time here, his defenses historically, the last couple of minutes of each half, struggle. Because I'll ask you, was there a mindset from him of because they're already a kind of bend, don't break approach.
Right.
But is there a mindset from him at the end of a half to say, all right, safeties, now you're going 25 yards off the ball. Corners, you're 10 yards off the receiver. Does that mindset, when you're a defensive player, does it take away your aggressiveness and your desire to sort of make plays and put you behind the eight ball, or are we just overreading that?
No, I don't think it necessarily, you know, takes your aggressiveness away. What it really does is it opens up windows underneath the safeties, behind the linebackers that aren't there when everybody's playing their normal alignments. When you deepen the safeties up, you're saying we don't want anything over the top, okay? We definitely don't want to give up a big play. So put yourself into deeper alignment and not allow those type of plays. And we saw it, I want to say maybe 2009 against Atlanta, the end of the game, playing cover two, corner doesn't sink, the safety's a little bit late to get over there, they kick a game-winning field goal. Those kind of plays, those are created because, you know, the safeties are backed off. There are a little bit bigger windows underneath the safeties and behind the linebackers. And sometimes you see, you know, drives at the end of the half or maybe at the end of a game or even, you know, 8 minutes left in the game, up a couple of scores, you back your safeties off to make sure nothing's over the top. And, you know, they tend to get hit those deep in dig routes, a deep seam routes, you know, even the deep corner routes, if the corner doesn't sink enough to give the to make the quarterback put enough air on the ball so the safety can make a break over there. I mean, that's kind of what we see. And like you said, it's a 100% bend but don't break. Let them move the ball down the field, but when we get in the red zone, we have to make them kick a field goal. Okay, there's 8 minutes left. If we're up 17 points, they have to score touchdowns. If we don't allow them to do that, then we win. Well, that works fine and good if you keep them out of the end zone in the red zone. If they end up scoring a touchdown, you know, then a field goal. Okay, now it's a seven-point game where you're totally in control if you continue to play the way you were playing. You know, like we saw against Dallas, they stayed aggressive and it was a blowout. Or Jacksonville, same thing. So, you know, I think Rod Marinelli deserves a lot of credit because, you know, Lovey likes to play his system his way, and I think he respects Rod Marinelli so much, respects the job he's done as a defensive coordinator, that he allows him to be a little bit more aggressive than we've seen, you know, Ron Rivera be, you know, Lovey when he was running it. You know, Rod Marinelli's an aggressive guy, and I think we've seen that in the amount of plays these guys have made, and not only when the game's on the line early, but also when they have a lead, you know, when they're up, they're still playing just as aggressive as they were the whole game.
Here's one for you. All right, so we'll take Conte out of it, take Tillman out of it, assuming Tillman's going to be lined up with Johnson. Who do you look at from the perspective of the Bears defense in this game? Who do you look at and say, he's got to have a big game for Detroit, who are a very successful offense, even though they're not having a great season, they're having a good offensive season. Who do you look at on that defensive unit for the Bears and say, that guy's got to have a big game for the Bears to be comfortable here?
Well, I think, I mean, anytime you talk about this defense being successful, it starts with the guys up front. I think that's just a given every week. You know, we don't really need to repeat that. That's just kind of, hey, these guys have to do what they do in this system. But I think a lot of this is going to come down to DJ Moore and Tim Jennings playing receivers matched up really one-on-one on the outside. I think if Tim Jennings and DJ Moore can limit Titus Young and Nate Burleson, I think with the help that Charles Tillman's going to get on Calvin Johnson, assuming that's what they do, I think the Bears are going to, you know, be pretty comfortable, you know, winning this game. Nobody's really proven they can run the ball on the Bears' defense this year, and I don't think that's going to change with Detroit. Definitely not a strong running game. So I think it comes down to Tim Jennings and DJ Moore matching up with those two receivers, and I think, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be very competitive, but I think Chicago has the advantage in those matchups.
The approach is almost, all right, let Calvin have his 11 catches for 145 yards and a touchdown. We shut everybody else down, we win the game. I mean, that's sort of the way they have to go into this game. So let Calvin's going to do what Calvin does. We're going to limit him on the big plays. We're going to make him go for 8-9 yards every catch. But if we stop Burleson, we stop Young, and we hold these tight ends in check, we're going to win this game because we're better and we're at home. I kind of like that. I think it's safer than trying to stop Calvin Johnson, because I watched that tape of Philadelphia-Detroit, and he's blanket covered by Nnamdi Asamoah running down the sideline, and he's still making catches. I mean, I just don't know that he's stoppable.
No, definitely not. There's nobody out there, and Nnamdi's one of the better guys out there. There's really nobody out there that you can put on Calvin Johnson that can stop him. He's too big. He's too fast. You know, either you have a big physical corner that can bang with him but can't run with him, or you have a smaller guy that can run with him but can't jump and get a jump ball with him. It's impossible to match up with that guy. So you try to limit his big plays. You make him work for everything he gets. When he catches a ball, you tackle him. You don't let him run after the catch. I mean, just things that you do with number one receivers that you want to limit. And, you know, I mean, we used to do a lot of exotic stuff in Miami to take away a number one guy when Randy Moss was in New England. But then, you know, if you don't have guys good enough to match up with the other guys, you get into trouble. I think, you know, Charles Tillman is as good a guy as anybody right now in the league to play physical with Calvin Johnson, and then just a little bit of help over the top. I think you're going to limit those big plays, and it's going to come down to DJ Moore and Tim Jennings doing what they've done all season. If they do that, then I think, you know, Chicago's going to be successful. If Nate Burleson and Titus Young have big games, then this is going to be, you know, a close game, and you know, Detroit definitely has the explosiveness in that offense to make big plays and win.
How many points do the Bears need to win this game?
I think they need, you know, 24 to 28 points. You know, and I mean, this defense is playing lights out right now, giving up 14 points a game. You know, Detroit really found a rhythm late in that Philadelphia game and found things that were successful. Chicago always offers up a different challenge compared to most teams in the league because, you know, everybody knows what they're going to do. Now you have to block the guys up front and beat it. So I think Detroit, they understand this defense. They understand how to beat it. They're going to make some plays. They have guys that can make some plays. I think they're going to put some points on the board, but when it comes down to it, you know, three touchdowns and a field goal, I think, will win this game for Chicago.
Very nice, Cam. Next week we will wrap. We will come back and do the Conte report again, and then we will preview Cam Newton. Next week we get to talk about Cam. So I will talk to you next week, Buzz.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.